Track 9. Back to news stories. Main construction on waterworks almost finished. A number of major works in Dawlish have been completed by South West Water as part of a multi-million pound investment to improve water quality by reducing the use of storm overflows in the area. Two new storm storage tanks have now been installed at the Lawn and Sandy Lane, which can hold up to 2.2 million litres of storm water each. These huge tanks will capture excess flows in the sewer network during periods of heavy rainfall and store them until there is capacity in the treatment works for full treatment. Further work has been completed across the town to help improve the performance of the network, including surface water separation works at Westcliff and Exeter Road, which will reduce the amount of rainwater entering the sewer system. A new pump chamber and control systems for the storm tanks have also been installed, along with a new sewer connection to the tank at the Lawn. Work is now focused on reinstating the sites, including laying turf and rebuilding the affected areas to give them back to the community by the summer. Chris Bradford, South West Water's project manager for Dawlish, said, "We're really pleased to have reached these key milestones in Dawlish. South West Water's scheme in Dawlish is part of its £760 million Turning the Tide programme."
Fundraiser for Fisherman's Funeral. A fundraiser has been set up following the sudden death of a former Tynmouth fisherman. Gary Morton died aged 51 after a suspected seizure. His sister, Rachel Palmer, is hoping to raise enough money to give her brother a proper send-off. He had been feeling unwell for a few days before he collapsed. Paramedics were on the scene within minutes and spent an hour trying to save Gary, but were unsuccessful. Rachel is having to organise her brother's funeral. Gary was known in Tynmouth and amongst the fishing community, having worked on local fishing boat Girl Rona from age 13 to help support his mum, Denise Jenkinson, and Rachel. He worked on trawlers in Tynmouth and Brixham until he was in his 30s, when a back injury forced him to stop. He then worked various jobs, including house decorating and cleaning. His unexpected death has come as a huge shock to the family. Rachel said, "He was known for being a good-hearted person and a fan of a good pint. He was an exceptionally kind family man who was looking after his elderly mother and was the epitome of a family man and a very proud uncle. Now the burden of organising the funeral is on Rachel as next of kin. She works part-time as a vet receptionist and her husband is a self-employed roofer, and she is worried about how their mother will cope and how the news may affect her heart." Rachel said, "Gary had a heart of gold and my mum is in a real state as he phoned every day, but people are rallying around to help her." Rachel is being helped by the Fisherman's Mission charity, but is appealing for help to pay for a funeral at St James's Church in Tynmouth, where all the family have been christened and married. The fundraiser has raised £445 of the £1,000 goal.
Former royal dressmaker visits Buckingham Palace. A former seamstress who worked for a royal dressmaker has had a trip down memory lane. Sheila Thomas from Dawlish once worked for fashion designer Sir Norman Hartnell, famous for his work making clothes for women in the royal family. Sheila, who is herself famous for making bunting for the town from knickers, was treated to a trip to London to visit an exhibition at Buckingham Palace, celebrating the style of the late Queen Elizabeth. Age 15, Sheila started working for Hartnell at his studio. She was among a group of seamstresses who made numerous outfits for members of the royal family, including the late Queen. And she made part of the hem of Princess Margaret's wedding dress for her marriage to Anthony Armstrong Jones in 1960, inside which Sheila sewed a lock of her own hair. Cathy Robbins, Sheila's daughter, organised the visit to the palace. Sheila said, "I had a wonderful time. In the palace, everyone was following me around when they knew I'd worked for Hartnell, asking all about it. We saw a lot of his designs and it all brought back a lot of memories for me. I actually made 2 day dresses for the Queen for a tour of Australia. She liked bright colours, and one of the dresses I made was japonica fabric, green with red flowers on it. Neither of the 2 dresses went on display at the exhibition, unfortunately, as they were outfits that she'd worn several times. Nevertheless, Sheila, who is about to celebrate her 87th birthday, was treated like royalty herself for her London visit. The late Queen's coronation dress, designed by Hartnell, and many of his designs were among those in the exhibition. It brought back many happy memories of her time working for Hartnell, and she visited his former premises in Bruton Street, May.
Feature. A major new feature aimed at getting people gardening has been announced by the Devon County Show. The show's first ever community growing hub has been designed to inspire visitors of all ages to get growing, get gardening, and get connected. The hub will be hosted by horticulturist and community growing advocate Kenny Baybold, who will lead a team of volunteers offering hands-on advice and practical support throughout the 3-day show. The community growing hub will serve as an accessible, welcoming space where visitors can explore everything from seed sowing and soil health to container gardening, wildlife-friendly planting, and sustainable home growing techniques. The feature has been created in response to the rising interest in gardening as a tool for well-being, resilience, and community building, as well as rising fund costs. Growing something from scratch is incredibly rewarding, especially when it's something you can eat, make with, or simply enjoy, said Kenny. Not only can it help towards reducing food bills, but it's also even better for boosting your confidence, sense of independence, and of course, community chats over the fence. Throughout the show, Kenny and a team of his will offer visitors tailored advice, troubleshoot gardening challenges, and discover simple, achievable ways to grow more at home. Show manager Lisa Moore said, "We're thrilled to introduce the Community Growing Hub to this year's show. Gardening has become such an important part of people's lives, supporting well-being, sustainability and community spirit. Kenny's passion and expertise make him the perfect person to lead this new feature, and we know visitors will love it."
New fun to fix bridges and flyovers. The government is backing councils across England to fix crumbling bridges, failing flyovers and deteriorating tunnels as it launches a new funding scheme. The new Structures Fund opened on Wednesday, April the 15th. The fund is now open for bids and will inject cash into repairing critical structures, ensuring transport infrastructure is more resilient to extreme weather while making everyday journeys safer, smoother and more dependable. Transport Secretary Heidi Alexander said, "Crumbling bridges and worn-out flyovers have been patched up rather than properly fixed for far too long, leading to frustrating wait limits and lengthy diversions. Every closed bridge is a barrier to growth, a blocked route to work, a delayed delivery, a family unable to reach the services they depend on. Councils have known what needs fixing for years, but simply haven't had the resources to act. We are changing that, making sure structures are repaired properly so people can live in properly connected communities. To help councils put forward the strongest possible proposals, the government has appointed consultant WSP to provide free guidance and hands-on support to all applicants, from reviewing cost estimates to helping develop delivery plans. Councils are encouraged to submit draft applications by June the 19th for early feedback, giving them the opportunity to strengthen proposals before the final deadline of the 3rd of August. A series of webinars will also be held through April and May to help authorities navigate the process. Funding decisions will be announced in autumn 2026, with all successful schemes required to complete works by March 2030.